Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are in the middle of our week, still celebrating Christmas. We are still in the octave of Christmas. And we've been talking about how do we continue to kind of stay, not just in a light way, in the Christmas spirit, but to stay in that place of really celebrating and receiving the Word. Jesus, the Word. Again, the true light has come into the world. Jesus Christ has been born. Friends, our hope has come. Our hope has come in the person of Jesus. And so we rejoice. We're glad we receive him in a deeper way in our hearts. And as we begin this week, we're reading the readings from December 26th. What does the church give us immediately after Christmas? After we celebrate the birth of Jesus and we continue to celebrate it, what does the church want us to know? What is the church communicating to us? And so we're going through that first reading of St. Stephen. And we've been talking about St. Stephen was just a deacon. He was just a deacon serving. And I say just a deacon. Obviously, deacons are so important, so no shade to deacons. But I'm saying there's this way that it says he was serving at table. We hear that in a couple. He was ordained to serve at table, but he's still working signs and wonders. He's still preaching the gospel. He's not allowing like his quote-unquote post to disqualify him. And so that was encouragement for us. And so I would encourage you, go listen to the last 2 days about how we talked about when the kingdom of heaven is present in us, opposition will come. Opposition will come, and we need to stand up strong and be prepared for the opposition that is inevitable, for the opposition that will come. And so let's pray and dive back into our work. I want to get a little bit more deeper into Stephen today and read a little bit more of our reading and see what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Oh, and as we're going today, Happy New Year's Eve, right? You're preparing for the new year. This is the last day of 2025, which is crazy because I feel like 2026 is a fictional year. It's like one of those years as a kid that you're like, we're never going to make it there. Like the world is going to be over by that time. It just feels like such a futuristic year. But I just want you to invite, as you're listening today, as you read the scriptures, as you're inspired by the word of God and the life of St. Stephen, as you pray in the end of this year and this into this next year, and you're deciding, Lord, what are you calling me to do in this next year? Like, what are my, maybe you're a resolutions person, maybe you're not, but to really take some time today to take stock of your year. Lord, what are the ways that I grew? What were the stumbling blocks? What were the highs? What were the lows? What were the hardest parts? And not just to say, okay, here are my resolutions, but look for, Lord, where did I see you this year? Where did I see you present? Where did I see your kingdom coming and reigning? Where did I not see you? What situations were difficult? Where did I deny you? Where did I shy away from preaching the gospel? And then really ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you for this next year, to say not only to who I want to be in this next year, but how do I want to be in relationship with God in a year? What do I want my relationship with God to look like? How do I want to have grown in intimacy with Jesus? And ask him to enlighten your heart in that way, to really know how to move forward and to be excited for the next year at hand and thank him. Walk in gratitude for the year that we've just had. So let's go ahead and we're going to read again some of the reading, that first reading from Acts chapter 6. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and the people from Cilicia and Asia came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. So now we're moving over to verse 11, remember, talking about Stephen being seized. Sorry, I'm going to my scriptures. That's why I'm taking a minute here. You might be jumping over to your scriptures. So it says, they then secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face was like the face of an angel. I want to continue reading out, but I'm going to stop there to just go over what we read. So, right, we left off. They were debating with Stephen, and they couldn't withstand his debates. So they go up to stir false witnesses up against him. Does this sound familiar? This is so similar to the killing of Jesus, although it's not a crucifixion. So they go around and they say, hey, we need you to bear witness against Stephen. We need you to bear witness against Stephen. So they come before the Sanhedrin and say they stirred up people and elders and teachers of the law. They arrest Stephen and they bring him before the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court. And they produce false witnesses who testified saying, this is what Stephen is saying. So they're twisting his words. They're twisting the gospel. But they're saying, one thing I love is they're saying, this man never stops. He never stops saying these things. And so there's a way, just like the apostles. Does that sound familiar? Like when they arrest Peter and John, they're like, stop talking about Jesus. They never stop talking about Jesus. They never stop witnessing to Jesus. And it's interesting, since we have heard him say that Jesus will destroy this place and change the customs, that Jesus, they're twisting his words because Jesus isn't going to change the customs. He's going to fulfill the customs. But what are the apostles saying? What is Stephen saying? They're saying what Jesus said. I will destroy the temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. He's speaking of his body. They're repeating the words of Jesus. So they're not making up a new gospel. And this is so real, friends, of what we need to take from this, of when we go and share the gospel, say what Jesus said. Say what the apostles said. If it was good enough for Jesus and if it was good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for us. How do we preach the gospel? How do we share the gospel? We're always like, oh, how is this person going to receive it? Da, da, da. And yes, it's important to think about those things. It's important to pray about those things. But stop veering away from the words of Jesus. People need to hear the words of Jesus. And we soften them for many reasons, but ultimately because we're afraid. We're afraid of what will happen to us. We think the words of Jesus are too harsh. We think people will misunderstand it. Guess what we see in the scriptures? People will misunderstand it, but it produces fruit that sometimes people will receive and sometimes they won't receive, and they'll bear false witness against you. Are we really prepared in our hearts to not want everybody to like us? To not want to rely on our ego, to not want to feel good about how everybody feels in relation to us. This has been such a conviction for me in this past year. I've had some times where I felt the Lord very clearly tell me what to say, very clearly convict me to preach the clear gospel. And people have received it and been like, you're too harsh, you're too intense, you're too passionate, and they haven't liked it. And I haven't liked that experience very much. Because it's people who I know and who I was in relationship with and who were like receiving that for me. And I was examining myself with people that knew me and with other leaders around me. They were confirming that that's what Jesus was calling me to say. And so as I reflected on that, the Lord was like, the reason you're feeling so offended is not because you said the wrong thing, but because you love your ego. And you want everybody to love you and you want everyone to respond positively to you and give you two thumbs up all the time. Are we ready for people to bear false witness against us? Are we ready for people to spread things about us that aren't true? Are we ready to be anchored in the Lord? That no matter what we say, no matter what's said about us, no matter what we experience from others, we know that we can be confident in him. So this is what's happening. And look at this. They're lying about Stephen. They're blaspheming him. They're bearing false witness against him. They're stirring up the people against him. And all who were sitting there looked intently at him and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. They saw that his face was like the face of an angel, that he was looking up to God. He wasn't looking to everybody else, but he wasn't stressed out. He wasn't like, oh my gosh, all these people are talking bad about me. I got to backtrack. He's not like, wait, guys, wait. You're totally misunderstanding me. Like, now that you seized me, like, that's not what I said. I didn't say it that way. That's not what I said. He's not defending himself at all. And they look at him and what they see is the glory of God shining upon him. That in the midst of being persecuted, his faith was like an angel. When people come against us, when things are hard, when things are challenging, Are we looking to God? Are we keeping calm? Are we staying peaceful? I know there's been some really hard situations in my past year, and so often I've gotten so flustered and I haven't stayed peaceful and I haven't looked up to Jesus to define me, to tell me, to keep me stable, to keep me steady, to say, this may be hard, people may be rejecting me, but I'm anchored in you. When the people who are opposing you look at you, when the people who you feel like are persecuting you and are against you look at you, do they see the countenance of Jesus shining on you? Do they see peace? Do they see the face of an angel? Or do they see distress? Do they see stress? Do they see anger? Do they see gossip? Do they see you venting to everybody who can hear, trying to defend your name? And the Lord is saying, I will defend you. Vengeance is mine. Preach my name without fear. Stop being so worried what people are going to think about you. So his face is like an angel. And that's where it stops. And they're going to pick up in the reading about what the Sanhedrin is going to do. But there's a big chunk that I want to explain really quick that the reading leaves out. So they look at his face. It's like an angel. And they say, okay, is this true? And Stephen launches into this insane speech. It's this unbelievably impressive oration. And he begins with creation, essentially. And he goes through the history of the Jewish people. He's talking to Jews and he meticulously lays out the scripture. He meticulously, and I'm like, some of me is like, Saul maybe is there and he's hearing this and he might use some of this later on when he becomes Paul in his apologetics. He's meticulously laying out, okay, from the beginning of time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. He goes through the patriarchs of Judaism and he lays out, how do these connect to Jesus? Where is Jesus here? Where is the Messiah here? And you notice when they give him a chance and they say, okay, Stephen, explain yourself. He's not like, guys, I know you're going to stone me. You got it all wrong. Just back off. We can be friends here. Everyone's good. Everyone's good with each other. He's not functioning out of a place of fear. How often are we speaking from a place of fear? And the minute someone challenges us, we're like, no, you misunderstood. Like, everything's fine. Like, don't be offended. We back away from how people's minds and their hearts, because they're darkened, are offended by the word of the gospel. And instead, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He hasn't planned all of this ahead of time. And this is where, looking back, remember Jesus says to the apostles, don't give all of this attention to defending yourself and bringing up a defense of what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words. He prepares his disciples for this in his Last Supper discourse. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will prepare you for what you need to say. So don't prepare ahead of time. And this is a perfect example of that synthesizing of coming together. The Holy Spirit, remember at the beginning, it says, St. Stephen was full of grace and power. The Spirit was alive in him. And so the Spirit is able to speak on his behalf. So today, as you pray, friends, consider, what are the ways this year that I've shared the gospel? And how have I backed down in fear of what others may think of me? Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up on St. Stephen. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.